Peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. There's nothing better than a good dinner party where everything is well prepared and well executed. Sumptuous food and delectable drink. If you're my daughter, plenty of sugary cake. Stimulating conversation and company. And the building and strengthening of new and old relationships. Our Lord was invited to many dinner parties like this during his time in Judea. It appears from our gospel accounts that many of the Pharisees and even Jesus' own disciples liked to have him over for dinner. So much so, in fact, that two verses before our gospel lesson opens this morning, Jesus quotes a saying that's been going around about him, that he is a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. You don't get that kind of reputation without going to some good dinner parties. At the start of our gospel lesson this morning, our Lord gets invited to the home of a Pharisee named Simon to partake in one such dinner party. Now, it bears saying right from the start that Simon's motives in inviting Jesus were not on the up and up. Simon does not invite Jesus because he's interested in getting to know Jesus better, or because he's interested in becoming one of Jesus' disciples. The evidence for this lies in the fact that Simon does not show Jesus the slightest bit of hospitality when he arrives at the party. Simon doesn't offer to wash Jesus' feet, which was a common courtesy for hosts to give to their guests in those days. And in doing so, he shows that he thinks himself superior to Jesus. He finds Jesus to be the inferior, not worthy of him even taking his time to wash his feet, and him the superior. Along with this, Simon gives Jesus no kiss, no sign of cordial affection, and he fails to anoint Jesus' head with olive oil, which was another common courtesy of the day to help make your guests feel comfortable. Simon has very little regard for Jesus. And this is evident from the moment that Jesus enters the house. He has been invited to this dinner party for an ill reason. Simon wants to trap Jesus in his words and actions and thus expose him as the fraud and the false Messiah that he and all the other Pharisees believe Jesus to be. Jesus has just stepped into an unfriendly dinner party, and he knows it. He knows what's coming. Now, as he comes into the home of Simon, Jesus has something of a plus one with him. A woman of the city, a sinner, most likely a prostitute, who follows him into Simon's house. She has heard Jesus out in the city preaching the word of forgiveness. That word has taken hold of her, gotten a grip on her, and now she doesn't want to let that word go. So she's clinging on to it for dear life, out of faith and out of gratitude. And as Jesus is reclining there at the table, and that's how they sat in those days to eat dinner, with a low table, lying on your side, on your elbow, with your feet sticking out behind you, as he's reclining there at the dinner table with his feet behind him, she goes to work on him, showing her gratitude for him. With tears streaming down her face, she wets Jesus' feet with her tears, and starts washing his feet, doing the washing that Simon had failed to do. She then takes an alabaster jar of perfume, something that is much more costly than the olive oil that Simon would have put on Jesus' head, and she breaks it, and in a sign of humility, she serves Jesus by pouring it out on his feet instead of on his head, and incidentally fulfilling the psalm that says, "Blessed are the feet that bring good news." She blesses him in this. She washes away the dirt with the perfume. She anoints his feet, covering them. And then she takes her hair, her crown and her joy, and she lets it down. This is something that was unthinkable for a Jewish woman to do in the society of that day. You didn't let down your hair. It was a disgrace to do so. And yet she lets her hair down, and she begins wiping the perfume all over his feet, using her hair to get the dirt and dust that he's accumulated off of his feet and to spread the perfume everywhere. She makes a fool of herself for Jesus, and she's not ashamed of it. In humble gratitude for his grace toward her, this prostitute does what Simon the Pharisee fails to do, to love Jesus by serving him. Now, of course, Simon is utterly disgusted at this. A prostitute debasing herself in this way at his dinner, and Jesus doing nothing about it, and in fact encouraging it because he's not doing something about it. In seeing this, Simon is convinced that Jesus is no prophet of God. This man cannot be a holy man, Simon is saying to himself. After all, to his thinking, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. There reclines Simon, all puffed up in his self-righteous pride, grumbling into his beard about how much better he is than this woman and Jesus, he who would allow such unclean and indecent things to go on. Well, of course, our Lord sees and knows Simon's grumbling. There is no grumbling and complaining that is hidden from God. Take note of that, saints. There is never any grumbling or complaining that is hidden from God. There was no poker face on Simon. And so Simon could be read like an open book. Jesus could see exactly what he was saying. So our Lord tells him that he wishes to say something to him. And he begins to tell him a parable. It's a parable about a moneylender who had two debtors. The first debtor owed the moneylender 500 denarii. That's 500 days' worth of wages, over a year's worth of wages. The second debtor owed him 50 denarii. That's 50 days' worth of wages, almost 2 months' worth. The moneylender, this extremely unusual moneylender, in a fit of compassion and mercy, decides to graciously forgive both of the men their debt. He wipes out the books, he forgives them, he sets them on their way, and promises never to bring it up again. He'll never return back to the scene and say, "Remember that time you owed me 50 denarii? Remember that time you owed me the 500 denarii?" There will be none of that. It's gone, removed. And so Jesus asks Simon a question. Which of them will love him more? Simon, who focuses on the unusualness of this moneylender in the parable, and to his thinking, the unrealistic character of this moneylender, you wouldn't find a moneylender like this in Jesus' day, turns and says, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." You can almost hear him saying to Jesus, "This is a stupid example, Jesus. No one really acts like this. I don't know a money changer like this, and you certainly don't know a money lender like this." Of course, despite his frustration with this parable, Simon ends up judging correctly. The one who has forgiven more will love more. She who is truly in touch with the depth of her sin, who is honest with herself, and can confess with the Apostle Paul that she is the chief of all sinners, upon hearing the word of forgiveness, will love in great abundance. That is what has happened with this prostitute. Her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For that reason, hence, she loved much. Simon, the self-righteous Pharisee that he was, did not believe that he had much sin to be forgiven. Simon believed that he was doing okay in God's eyes. Sure, he stumbled here and there. Sure, he made a few mistakes from time to time. But all in all, he was a good guy, he would tell himself. After all, he was religious. He went to church. He was very concerned about keeping the law so that he might do good works and find God's approval that way. On this account, he did not believe that he had much to be forgiven. Consequently, he loved little. Jesus entered his house, and he treated him like an inferior. But this woman, this prostitute, she knew who she was. And she made no bones to cover it up, no bones to hide it. She knew that her sins were legion. She knew that she rightfully deserved nothing but the wrath of God and death. And so when the word of forgiveness came to her outside of Simon's home, faith burst forth, and love erupted like a massive tidal wave. Her actions towards Jesus testify to this. Now let's be very clear about something here. This woman did not receive forgiveness because she loved Jesus. No, she loved Jesus because she already had his forgiveness. That is why she followed him into the door. And that is why she debased herself to serve him. And notice something else. Upon seeing her love pouring forth, Jesus turns and speaks the word of forgiveness to her a second time, this time within the confines of Simon's house, with a joyous smile on his face. And you can only imagine Jesus beaming ear to ear at this moment. Looking her in the eye, he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." That is the kind of God that we have to do with. A God who never gets tired of telling us sinners that he forgives us. It is his utter joy and delight to remind us again and again and again just what it is that he has done for us in Jesus Christ. You see, he wants nothing more than for us to believe this down to our core and to rejoice in it, because this is truly the good news. To that end, God has gathered us here this morning for a dinner party, the best kind of dinner party that you could possibly have. God is the host, and we are the guests. We are gathered to feast on his body and blood, which is our sumptuous food and our delectable drink, the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are gathered to commune with our Lord and to commune with one another. And is there any better company than that? Invited to this party are sinners. You who know the depth of your sin, you who lament over it and repent of it, you are invited to come and partake of this dinner. And as you come forward to receive our Lord in his body and blood, he has something to say to you. Your sins have been forgiven. Yes, he's talking to you. No matter what you've done, no matter what guilt hangs in your heart, Jesus Christ speaks to you. Your sins have been forgiven. In saying this, he sets you free to love and to love much. After all, there are plenty of people around you, in here and outside of the confines of these walls, your neighbors, in whom Christ is hidden. Whatever you do for the least of these, you do to me. Your neighbors in whom Christ is hidden, who could use your love. So go. After you have dinner today, get up, go out those doors, and serve your neighbor in love. And as Jesus said to the prostitute, so by his authority I say to you, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen.